Well, many people enjoy a good outdoor hike. How many of you are the people that enjoy outdoor hikes? Only like five of you? No, yeah, I know there's more people in here that like going on hikes with your friends out in nature. There's, you know, you get to see the breeze. Well, guess what? I'm with you. I'm not one of those people. I do not like hikes. I don't like hikes. Like, you're telling me that you want to go outdoors and just walk on a dirt road for fun? Like, on purpose? You want to do that? No, that is not my life. But it was the life of these people that were hiking expeditioners, right? They were all about hiking. They wanted to find the best trail. They wanted to find a rigorous and hard trail, and that's exactly what they did. They found a trail that was extremely hard and extremely challenging and came with all of these different type of difficulties, and they went and ventured out on it. Now, this was a hiking group that was very well prepared, right? So they knew where they were going. They packed well. They had their supplies, and they went off on the hike onto this mountain that had kind of unexpected weather conditions, and they just didn't know really what they were getting themselves into. But they were prepared nonetheless. So they went out on the hike, and as they're going about on the hike, on this challenging hike, they come to a fork in the road. Come to a fork in the road, and they look to the left, and they see a lot of brush that's on the left. They overgrown greenery, and the greenery is wrapped around the signage, so they can't really tell what's going on. And they look to the right, and they see the right path, and they see clear, right? They see a well-kept and a well-walked-on path. So they make a split decision. They decide. They didn't address their maps. They didn't look at any of their gear, and they decided, let's go down the right path. The right path, that's the way that most people are probably walking. We can see footprints there. Yeah, that's where people are going. So they decided in that split moment, they're going to walk down that path. Little did they know that was the path that led them ultimately to get lost. So they didn't get to the destination. They knew where the destination was. They prepared for the destination. But instead of going down the difficult path, they went down the easy path that seemed well-kept and that most people seemed to be walking down, and they got lost. Here's the thing, guys. In the Christian life, there are only two paths. There's one path that leads to life, eternal life, heaven. There's a second path that leads to destruction, that leads to hell, that leads to punishment. And this is the reality that every single person needs to face, needs to deal with. And every single person needs to face this reality and make a decision. They need to choose which path they're going to go down. Which path you decide to go down is literally the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The most important decision that you will ever make. More important than your job, for you seniors, more important where you go to college, more important than your future career, more important than who you're going to marry, more important what church you get involved in. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. What path are you going to walk down? Which path are you going to choose? You have to decide. Jesus talks about these two paths. He talks about the path to life and the path to death, and he describes it in two separate ways. He says the narrow and the wide path. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 as we look at this passage together. Matthew chapter 7, just two verses, verse 13 and 14, but two of the most powerful verses in all of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been going through, Pastor John's been teaching us about the Sermon on the Mount, this didactic and practical teaching and wisdom from Christ culminates now to this conclusion that begins with four juxtapositions, four contrasts, starting with this first one in Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at it together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So all of this teaching comes to this conclusion, where we have these few sermons that we have left in our series of four juxtapositions where you see right here the narrow and the wide gate. And if you're looking in your Bibles, you can look down and you can see the good and the bad fruit. Then we have the two judgments, the good judgment, the judgment that you want, and the bad judgment, the judgment you don't want. And it has the final juxtaposition of the foundation, whether you're on the sand or you're on the rock. So Jesus basically brings all of his sermon to this conclusion, and he gives them an imperative. He says, you need to do something about this now. You need all of this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, this is the from the words of Christ. All of you have been listening to the Sermon on the Mount for the last year. You now need to make a decision. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. That's what it says in verse 13. That word, enter, it implies that there's a conscious, intentional decision-making that's happening. That you're entering into this Christian life. You're entering onto this narrow path. You're rejecting the wide path. And Jesus, he basically lays out the path, both paths. He lays out both options, but he doesn't just say like, okay, up to you now. He tells you which path to choose. He says, enter the narrow one. That's the path you want to walk down. That's the path you need to pursue. Then it goes on, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. So this gate, as you see, it doesn't say enter, let me rephrase what I'm trying to say. Like, the gate that's wide is something that you're born onto, right? This is something that every single person at some point in their life is walking down. And they have to make this conscious decision to now enter into the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. This is the way of the world. This is the way of the non-believer. This is the way of someone who rejects Christ and walks down this path. They pursue their sin, they pursue their desires, and they are walking on the wide path. There are many people that are on this path knowingly. There are many people that are decisively on this path. That's what they want. They say, no way, Jesus, I'm going down this way. And then there's other people that, unbeknownst to them, they think they're on the narrow. They think they're walking with Christ. They think they're going down the right path, but they're going down the wide because it's easy. He goes on, and those who enter by it are many. This doesn't necessarily imply a majority. I think it can, but the point is that this is where everyone starts. Everyone starts on the wide path. Everyone's born onto this road to destruction because of their sin. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow. The way is hard that leads to life. It's a hard path. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be self-denial and sacrifice, and you're going to be scrutinized regularly. This is not easy. It's hard. You know, we oftentimes talk about how easy it is to come to Christ. In reality, that's true, right? Because you repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ. But there's also a striving that's necessary. Jesus says that you need to seek this path. You need to enter by this narrow path. You have to find this path. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, he uses the word, which is the same account. He says, strive to enter. Strive. It implies this seeking after this path. It implies a difficulty in finding this path. It's like, yes, repentance and faith, yes. But staying on that narrow path, the Bible talks a lot about proving your faith is genuine. The Bible talks a lot about keeping up with your repentance, proving your faith. That's what we're talking about here. You're walking down this narrow path continuously. The main idea of this sermon that I want you all to take away is I want you to choose the right path. It's that simple. I want you to choose the right path. And not only choose the right path, but I want you to diligently and faithfully walk down that right path until the day that you die. Because there's a lot of people that seem to be walking down the right path that fall away. And the whole time they were on the narrow path, or the wide path, the whole time they were lost, they were confused. I want you to intentionally choose that right path. Jesus makes it very clear to us that there's only two paths. There's not many ways. There's not multiple shortcuts on the narrow road, right? There's one narrow road. There's not multiple ways to get to the destination. There's one. If you're not on that destination, you're not on that narrow road, you're on the wide. There's only two paths. Which path are you on? How do you know? Are you sure? Point number one, I want you to examine the path you're on carefully. Examine the path you're on carefully. Any of you guys use maps to get somewhere that you've been 100 times? My wife's like this. I'll go a place one time and it's like, okay, locked, boom. It's in my head. Kristen, we'll be going to grandma's house. And she's like, boop, 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 let's type that in real quick. We've been there 57 times, but we're gonna make sure we're going to the right place. Any of you guys like that? You punch in the destination. Drew's raising his hand back there, like that's me. Punching in your destination. And some of you, it might be routine, whatever, but some of you are like, no, I just need to make sure that I'm getting to the right place. I think we can all relate to that when we're thinking about this path that we're walking on. Even though you may feel like you're going in the right destination, you feel like you're going in the right way, you got to make sure that you're going the right way. The Bible talks a lot about examining your faith and making sure you're right with Christ. Making sure that you are pursuing Christ. Making sure that the profession that you've made is genuine and it's true. As I said, there's many that are walking on this wide path. There's many celebrities on the wide path. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they're walking down the wide path. People who are sitting in church reading the Bible are walking on the wide path. Some of the parents of you in this room are walking on the wide path. Some of your friends that make professions of faith are walking on the wide path. Some of you in this room are walking on the wide path, whether that be intentional or that be you don't know. You're unsure, or you think you're sure and you're wrong. It's not just the people that are openly rebelling against Christ that are walking on the wide path. I hope you realize that. That's why Jesus tries to make it so clear for us that you need to enter, that you need to strive, that you need to prove that you're walking on the narrow path. And not only that, but stay on it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to think about which path are you on this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize, this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Right, there's a lot of ways that we can test whether or not we're walking on the wide or narrow path. Being on that narrow path involves doing, as I've mentioned, that striving that Luke chapter 13 says, that comparison passage to our text today. You got to be doing the things that God has called you to do. Now, you don't do things to get into the narrow path. You enter the narrow path, and then you do things to prove you're on the narrow path. Follow me there? Right? You make a profession and then you affirm that profession. You give a testimony, evidence to that profession by walking in righteousness, by doing the right things. You do something about it. You don't just make a profession and then boom, done, Christian for life. That's not the way that it works. That's not the way that it works. We need to examine which path that we're on. Those on the narrow path are unwilling to compromise on the scriptures. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? Are you unwilling? Like, you love God's word. You are unwilling to compromise on what God's word says. You obey it, you do it, you apply it. This is, and you read it and you consume it. This is what you love. This is what your life is about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. It says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. If you hold fast to what Jesus preached, the gospel and repentance and walking in Christ, you holding fast to that. Is that true of your life? If you're saying, I'm walking on the narrow path, is it true that you love God's word and you're obedient to it, uncompromising what the scriptures say? People on the narrow path are constantly growing in Christ. Is that true of you? Or when you made that profession, are you in the same position in terms of your righteousness that you are now? Unless you're a new believer, of course, right? I mean, sanctification is a process, but yeah, I've been a Christian since sixth grade. I'm a senior now, but I still struggle with all of the same stuff, and I don't really like my Bible, and I don't really care to do the thing. Right? I mean, sanctification process. People on the narrow path are growing in Christ every single day. People on the narrow path are forsaking their thinking and submitting to what Scripture teaches. You're trusting in what the Lord says. You know, you're trusting in his wisdom, not in your own understandings, Proverbs 3 says. Which path are you on? Those on the narrow path are unwavering from what is true. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You're holding fast to the confession of your hope. And you're not going back and forth. You're not going side to side. You're not doubting these truths and pursuing false teaching. You're staying true to what the Bible teaches. People on the narrow path reject what the world says is true and good and right. Do you reject what the world says is true and right and good, or do you love what the world says is right and good and true? Like, think about your life. Examine this path you're walking on. Do you love the praise of the world? Do you love the praise of your friends who reject Christ? Are you making the same type of comments and jokes as your friends are that reject Christ? You loving what the world has to offer and the entertainment and all of these different avenues of what they have to offer? Are you rejecting it? Got to hold fast to what is true. Hebrews chapter 3, we see a third way that we can examine which path we're on. Those on the narrow path hold fast to the very end. Now, I understand that we aren't at the end of our lives. That could be today. But we're not at the end of our lives. For, you know, in some ways, if the Lord gives you the grace to go until you're 80 years old, you're at the very beginning of your life. But those who hold fast till the very end, that finish the race, those are the ones that are walking down the narrow path. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. People on the narrow path prove that to be true because they stay on the narrow path until the day they die. I'm sure you have friends or family members or people close to you that you have seen make professions and walked away. Some of you have made professions to be walking on the narrow path and walked away. People are striving every single day to pursue Christ and to be obedient to what Christ has to say. Guys, if you're on the narrow path, you're examining your life, daily obedience, daily commitment to God's word, daily sacrifice, daily submission to what God wants instead of what you want. That's how you're going to endure until the end. That's how you're going to endure until the end. Striving every single day. You know, sometimes we think, like I said, you make the commitment and it's like, I'm good now, I'm great. This is good to go. It's not the way that salvation works. It's a daily commitment to Christ. That's not how you get justified. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sanctification. We're talking about growing in Christ. We're talking about what James says, that prove your faith is genuine with good works. Daily commitment to Christ. You know, I think about you seniors as I was with you on the senior retreat, that daily endure, daily commit to Christ. Like, I implore you to make this a priority in your life. And I do for all of you. But I implore you seniors, as you go off into colleges, you're outside of the gates of this church and this ministry. Endure. Hold fast until the end. I want you guys to stop and think for a second. And I want you to look around at each other. I'm serious. Look at each other. See your new friends. You see the smile. Yeah. Right? About 170 of you in this room right now. Statistics say, and if they are accurate and true, that 75% of you are or will be walking on the narrow, the wide path. 75% of you. Look around again. 3 out of 4 of you are walking down the wide path that leads to destruction. If the stats are accurate, that's what they say about high schoolers that make professions of faith in high school, or even those that go to church in high school. 75% of them stop going to church. They stop doing the things that their pastors have told them to do. They reject Christ and they walk away. Or some of them don't take it seriously and they hold fast to that confession, but they never prove that to be real, a reality. They stop going to church, but they still call themselves Christians. 75% of you high school students. I mean, I just want you to think about that for a second. Imagine your friend group and, like, picture people, not judging them in your hearts, but just, like, randomly. If you're in a group of 4, most likely 3 of those will not be in the faith. I had 12 good friends in high school. 2 of us, not even including me, walked away. 2 out of the 12. I'm sure there's the leaders in this room. Pastor John's mentioned it before, that he knows people that were sitting in these chairs that he went to True North with that are no longer walking with Christ, that were on fire for Christ and are no longer walking with him. Because they didn't endure. They were wavering in the truth. They were compromising on the scriptures. They didn't examine which path they were on. They didn't care. I don't say this to fearmonger you guys, right? I say this because I want to warn you of this reality. This is a reality that we live. This is what Jesus is saying. He's giving this imperative, but it's kind of like a warning. Enter the narrow gate. Stay on this path. Keep walking on this path. I don't want you to walk down the wide path. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and regret the places that you've been. I want you to heed Jesus' command. And that's where we get our second point in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. This comes with intentionality. This comes with decision. So point number 2, enter the Christian life intentionally. Enter the Christian life intentionally. This is a decisive act. This is a choice. You have the choice to walk down the wide. You have the choice to walk down the narrow. Which choice are you going to make? And a lot of people have said, I have made that choice to walk down the narrow path. And I want you to think about that. When you've made that profession, you've said, I'm walking down the narrow path. Of course I'm walking down the narrow path. And some of you have said some statements like this where it says, I've always been a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I've been a Christian. I was born a Christian. Like it's some type of ethnicity or something. Not born a Christian. You're born onto the wide path. You're born onto the path of destruction. You're not born a Christian. You have to enter into intentionally. That's what Jesus is saying. You have to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ. You've not always been a Christian. Some of you, that's where you're starting your testimony. So, well, I've always been a Christian. Others of you know, I'm raised in a Christian home, therefore, right? My parents taught me or my parents are Christians, so I'm a Christian. There's not a point of your conversion in your life. Examine your testimony. Think about this. Have you entered intentionally into the Christian life through Christ? Or are you holding fast to statements like this? I've always been. My parents are. Well, I prayed that prayer when I was 5. I got baptized when I was a kid. Or of course I'm a Christian. This is something you probably felt before or heard yourself, or some of you, this might be true. Of course I'm a Christian. I go to church, right? I serve. I serve on the team. I do the things. Of course I'm a Christian. But there's never been a point in your life where you've entered intentionally through repentance and faith into this Christian life. That has to be true of every single person. You don't mistakenly fall onto the narrow path. You don't trip and now you're on the narrow path. You see the path and you walk down it. You make this intentional choice to enter into the Christian life. Every single person, every single true Christian has a point where they've done this. This needs to be true of you if it hasn't been. Every single one of us were born on the wide path. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." This is the reality for all of us until we intentionally enter into the Christian life. A lot of you guys play sports. And you play baseball, you play football, some of you guys swim, some of you guys dive, you do lacrosse, whatever. You do all these things. Were you born a lacrosse player? You born a swimmer? Well, my parents played baseball, so I'm a baseball player. My, my dad is, he played football, so I'm a football player. No, you make an intentional decision to choose the sport that you want to play. You enter into that sport. You make a conscious decision that this is a sport I'm going to play, and then you pursue it, and that's the sport you're playing. There's only one way to enter the narrow gate. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ that we enter into this narrow path, enter through this narrow gate. There's some of you that have felt this before. There's some of you that have felt the weight of your sin. You felt the need for a Savior. You felt a desire to get right with God. You felt a need for repentance. In fact, you felt so desperately that you deserve the wide path, the destruction. And you turned and you placed your faith in Christ. You repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ. You intentionally entered the narrow path. Those are the people that have entered the narrow path. They've had this experience with Christ where they've recognized their sin and they've repented of it and they've placed their faith in Jesus. They've intentionally entered the Christian life. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus says it this way. There's two things you need to do, as I've already mentioned. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe. That's how you intentionally enter into the Christian life. Back in our text, let's look again at verse 14 together. Back in our text, it says, "For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The gate's narrow. The way is hard. It's difficult. It comes with oppression, is what the word means. It comes with affliction, is what the word means. So the Christian life is not an easy life.
You know, there's a lot of people that want to tell you, hey, join Christianity, is just the best life you've ever had in your ever. It's the best thing, right? And in a lot of ways, that is true because we have different perspectives. We have joy. God blesses in different ways. Great, right? But it also comes with hardship. It also comes with difficulty. It also comes with trial. Point number three, I want you to endure the hardships faithfully. Endure the hardships faithfully. I ran this race about a month back. It took me 8 months to train for this thing. Constant training. It's like I had to train every single day, which I ended up loving, but it was a constant battle of every day, waking up, training, and making sure I was ready and fit for the race that was to come. And then finally, I get to the race, and even before that, like thinking about the training, there were so many times, guys, where I was like, I'm so done. I quit. Oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. This is like, long miles of bike rides and swims and runs and things like that. I was like, oh, I don't know. Should I even do this? What am I even doing? What do I even get myself into? Right? And then the race day comes, and I'm on the race day, and I'm having fun, and then, like, you know, I'm halfway through the race, and I'm thinking to myself, I made a bad decision. Why did I do this? But then I cross the finish line, right? I cross that finish line, and I realize this was so great. This was all worth it. This was so sweet. I was able to endure all of those various things, all of those various difficulties in the training process and throughout the race because of course, this end goal. I was satisfied. It was great. Number one, you got to endure through the trials. Endure through the trials and tribulations. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw, I had, and now hear that I still have." Right? You're walking on the narrow path. Don't be discouraged. There will be trials and tribulations. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, right? You're probably looking at me thinking, "Hey, if you're trying to convince me, if you're a person in here that doesn't believe in this, and I'm trying to convince you to come to Christ, it's so much easier for me to say, narrow path's easy, narrow path's great. Oh yeah, come on in. It's awesome, right? But this is the reality that it's hard. There's trials, there's tribulations, and you will experience this on the narrow path. But it is so much better than what the wide path has to offer. It's so much better than what the wide path has to offer. Because you get forgiveness. Consider your walk with Christ. Has it been all rainbows and dandelions and butterflies? Hey, those of you that are walking down the narrow path, has it been great? No trials, never? No, of course not. Those at school, they mock you for your faith. The culture that we live in, they hate you for what you believe. Simply for believing what the Bible says is true. The culture says, you're a bigot, you're racist, whatever. You're going to face this trial, these difficulties in your life if you're walking down the narrow path. You're going to get turned down for jobs. Job opportunities are going to be lost because of you walking down the narrow path. You get laughed at for sharing the gospel. There's going to be friends who oust you from the group because you're walking down the narrow path. But you got to endure. God is faithful. God is good through all of these things. God is faithful to deliver you through those trials and tribulations, despite the fact that he says they're going to come. Don't be discouraged by that. Keep steadfast on this narrow path. Keep steadfast on the hard path that leads to life. You're going to be tempted to look over to those people that are walking on the wide path, and you're going to be tempted to have envy over those people. Oh, that path is easier. That path is so much easier to do the things that are over there. Your family members who openly reject Christ, you know, why is it that he's doing well in life? Or your friends who profess to know Christ, but they continue to live in complete disregard to God's commands. They're going to be tempted to be like, why can't I just do what they're doing? It's because they're walking in the wide path. the wide path that leads to destruction, the wide path that leads to hell. Got to endure through the sacrifices. There's so much self-denial, right, and sacrificial service that comes with the narrow path. You need to endure through those sacrifices. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Indeed, I count everything, everything, as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as dirt, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ." All of the things of the wide path, all the things of the wide path, the shiny things on the wide path that the world has to offer is rubbish. It's garbage in comparison to knowing Christ on the narrow path. It's garbage. We live in a very short life, which leads me to the third piece of this. Endure till the end. Endure till the end. There was this video, you've probably seen it. There's this boy, his dad offered him two Oreos. Offered him two Oreos, and he said, "Hey, you can have these out of the package, fresh, two Oreos, or you can have $10,000. The boy said, "Oreos." Boy's probably like 4 years old. He pointed to the Oreos, "Yeah, give me the Oreos." You could argue like, well, he didn't know the value of the $10,000. Those on the wide path do not value the inheritance that awaits those that are on the narrow path. They think, this is the life that I want to focus on. This is the life that I'm just going to ride on the wide path because, you know, it's short, glimpse in a second. I'm going to enjoy my life here. When those on the narrow path have the $10,000 waiting them at the end. Don't choose the Oreos, right? Choose the $10,000 that comes if you endure until the end. How foolish is this when we think about it? Like I said, this is a glimpse. This life that we live in, guys, is a glimpse. Your high school career is a glimpse. Your college career is a glimpse. Your job career is a glimpse. Kids, wife, husband, grandchildren, all of it is a glimpse in light of eternity. You're going to give up eternity if you walk down the wide path because it leads to destruction while the narrow path leads to life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure has come. And rather, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Look forward to that eternal inheritance. Who cares about what goes on in this world, in this life? I mean, obviously, as a Christian, we want to live this life for Christ. But my point is if you're walking down the wide path, that's all the satisfaction you're going to get. All the satisfaction you're going to get is the good things of this world, or the things that the world says are good. Whereas the narrow path has this inheritance that's at the very end. That if you fight the good fight, like Paul's talking about, you finish the race strong, you endure till the end, you have that inheritance to receive. I want you to imagine this, right? You were faithful till the end. You entered into the Christian life intentionally. You walked down that path with determination and obedience to the Lord, and you die, and you open your eyes, and you're in the presence of the Lord, and you're in eternity in heaven, and you're bumping elbows with your buddy like, "That was way more worth it." Right, I want to be in eternity with you guys, bumping elbows, being like, "Remember that sermon that we talked about? Like, you remember those hardships that we had? Like, hardships. while you're sitting there in the presence of God in eternal bliss and perfection and good and glorifying bodies and strength, and sin is gone. And this is the inheritance. This is the eternity that those that are walking down the narrow path can look forward to, that those that walk down the wide path don't get. They get the exact opposite: destruction, eternal punishment for their sins, because they wanted what this world has to offer. They wanted to say, you know, I want to follow myself. They wanted to say, oh, I know Christ, and I follow Christ. But they didn't actually follow Christ. They never actually repented. They professed to know God, but denied them by their works. It's so easy to endure and be obedient when we have that eternal perspective. Yeah, our theme verse for True North this year, as you all know, has been Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. I'll just read it again afresh for you. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This has been our theme for True North throughout this year. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, choose the right path. There's one that leads to life. There's one that leads to death. There's one that leads to eternity. There's one that leads to destruction. There's one that leads to Christ. There's one that leads to hell. There's one that leads to joy in the presence of the Lord, and there's one that leads to pain. There's two ways. Choose the path that leads to life and remain faithfully on that path till the Lord calls you home. Plead with you, please, choose the right path. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount that's been so helpful for us as we seek to walk down this narrow path. God, help us, please, to think and consider our professions. Pray for these students that they can examine their own life, whether or not they are on the right path, that they can truly consider and think about their own testimonies. And those that knowingly are walking down the wide path, may you convict their hearts today and see that it's just simply not worth it. There's forgiveness that could be had. There's joy that could be had in Christ. It's a difficult life, sure, but there's an inheritance that awaits, God. So I pray that this is helpful. I pray that you be honored and glorified in all of the lives of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.